Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us for the next few minutes to talk about the resignation of a Pennsylvania state welfare advisor. And he was asked to resign, forced to resign, for a very odd reason, a reason I don't think that would have necessarily gotten anyone kicked out of public office in past generations. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Why did Robert Patterson lose his job in Pennsylvania?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Officially, he lost his job because he was editing a conservative journal on a part-time basis. But truly, the reason he lost his job is because a couple of loudmouths at the Philadelphia Inquirer wanted to drive out any social conservatives working for the governor's office, as near as I can tell, because otherwise it wouldn't, as you say, it wouldn't have mattered to a hill of beans having a part-time editing job. Wouldn't have mattered to anything. But these guys had it in for Bob Patterson's views, and I suppose not really Bob, as so much as the governor himself and his proposed policies.
So what views are we talking about here?
Well, you know, this journal that he edits that created so much controversy is a journal called Family in America, and it's published by the Howard Center, which is over in Rockford, Illinois. And I've written for this journal many times. It's a very good journal, in my opinion. He and Bob's done a great job with the journal. He solicits articles from a lot of the top people in marriage and family. He does, at the end of every issue, he does a synopsis of important research. So there'll be, at the end of every issue, maybe 20 or 30, two or three paragraph synopses of research being done all across the disciplines in all kinds of different areas. And so, you know, if you are interested in what's going on, you can open that up and you can see stuff from neuroscience, you can see stuff from sociology journals or economics journals, all kinds of stuff is reviewed there. So it's really quite a valuable intellectual service that the Family in America performs by providing access for a lot of people to information that, you know, you just don't have time to read all that stuff if you're, if you're specializing in one field or another. Bob's done a great job doing that kind of stuff. So, if you look at it just objectively, this is a journal that is interested in the family, interested in the natural family, and all of the articles and evidence and academic information that pertains to it, you know. So you would think, well, gosh, that would be, people would be in favor of that. People, even if you don't agree with their point of view, you'd want to know what the research is, you know. But because they champion the natural family, the man-woman marriage with parents raising their own children, that, I guess, is just too much for the editorial board over at the Philadelphia Inquirer. You know, the idea that people would think mom and dad and their kids constitutes a good family is like too much for them. So they found a couple of things. They went looking for something that would make him look bad and ended up attacking him for something he didn't even write, for a synopsis that he wrote of somebody else's research. They thought the research was hysterical and just basically went off, is really what it amounts to, so that they could smear him.
Well, here's a little bit from the Philadelphia Daily News, a cousin organization from the Inquirer that you were talking about. And this is what they said, and I quote, "Religion is at the center of the Howard Center for Family, Religion, and Society, where Patterson works as an editor. It's fair to wonder how right it is for his extreme views to help shape public policy, in Patterson's case, welfare policy, that will affect so many in need. And we can't help but be disturbed by the contempt Patterson must have held, given his beliefs, for many of the clients served by the department. That's a lot of speculation as to what this man must have, I think I read that three times in there, been believing or doing.
I know, and they don't mention what his religious views happen to be. You know, they don't mention, because, and which you would never figure out from reading the journal, what whether he's an Anglican or a Lutheran or whatever. You know, you would never figure that out. And you know, in fact, Bob Patterson is a critic of the welfare system as we know it now because it attacks the family, and I think that is a perfectly legitimate set of questions to ask, even if you don't buy it. For crying out loud, we've got to at least ask these questions when we've got 40% out-of-wedlock childbearing rate in society as a whole, and some 70% of out-of-wedlock childbearing among the lower classes who are most deeply impacted by welfare policy. For crying out loud, we've got to ask ourselves the question, is there some connection between point one, the welfare system, and point two, the family among poorer people? You know, come on. The Philadelphia Inquirer wants that to be completely off limits. And so I think that this group of people that are attacking Bob Patterson, these are ideologues. These are pro-welfare, pro-big government ideologues who couldn't care a fig for what happens in the actual lived lives, the actual lived experience of poor people. And they are also profoundly anti-science. That's what really upsets me, Todd. They are profoundly anti-science. If a scientific result is something they don't like, they just make fun of it. That's their position, is to make fun of it. And that, you know, for a newspaper to descend to that level, man, you shouldn't even wrap up dead fish in the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's an insult to the fish.
So why is it important that in spite of efforts to deny it here, why is it important that we maintain that the natural family actually has economic and sociological benefits across society, and that it is an ideal toward which we not only ought to strive as individuals, but an ideal that ought to be incentivized by our government policy?
Well, the reason a natural family is so important is because nobody has an interest in the welfare of a child as great and as focused as the child's own mother and father. And, of course, if the mother and father go completely off the rails, you want to do something to help the child. But you want to start off as your basic unit of society that mom and dad are responsible for their kids and that mom and dad will do the best job for their kids. And what has happened to us is that the welfare state central planners of our society have decided some combination of mom and dad aren't good enough, aren't smart enough, aren't rich enough, and we need to pump resources in there, and that's what's going to save the family, is government resources is what's going to save the family. And if we disrupt the relationships between mom, dad, and the kids, too bad. Who cares? That's what is really at stake, is two different views of what the family is, two different views of the relationship between the state and the family. And doggone it, for those people to be simply writing one view off the map without even engaging it in argument, that's ridiculous. And people need to speak up and say something about that.
Why do we need people serving in areas influencing public policy who actually still believe that the natural family is the best course, not only for individuals, but for our society, with about a minute before we break?
Because people really want to live in their families. You know, I think children want to be with their mothers and fathers. And I will tell you that as somebody who was a foster parent for 3 years, Todd, no matter what their parents have done, children want to be with their moms and dads. And the father hunger that children experience when they don't have any relationship with their father, it is well documented and widely observed that kids want their parents. And the idea that society as a whole and the government in particular would say that that's of no importance, that's simply appalling. I mean, it's wrong for children, it's wrong for parents, it's wrong for society.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex, and Love and Economics. We'll have a link to her blog and the Ruth Institute website at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc., we've had to juggle things a little bit here in the first hour, so I'm not quite sure of the order, but I will tell you what's coming. We are going to do a little sermon review at some point in the second hour. Pastor James Douthwaite of St. Athanasius Lutheran Church in Vienna, Virginia, has preached recently, in fact, this last Sunday, on Jesus healing the man with the unclean spirit in the synagogue, right there at the very beginning of Mark's Gospel. We will do that sermon review and then some audio open lines for hour or two. There's a pastor in Virginia who's written a book. It's called Bod for God, B-O-D, the number four, G-O-D. And he's got a message. He's been covered in the news, and we will hear what he has to say. MSNBC has some story on Bod for God and this man's call for people getting healthy and fit for Jesus. He says that you can eat right, live right, exercise, lose weight, and get healthy without being a Christian. But he does say that if you are a Christian, it'll be easier. Now, I have no point of reference here, not because I don't exercise. I love to exercise. I have no point of reference because I cannot remember a time when I wasn't a Christian. So I don't know if being an unbeliever would make my time on the Cybex Arc Trainer more difficult or less difficult, but we'll see what you have to say about it during audio open lines in hour two of Issues Etc. You can go to our Facebook fan page in advance and see what MSNBC has to say about the Bod for God pastor, a fat fighting pastor who has a bod for God, and leave your reaction there if you'd like to for hour two. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Hour two of Issues Etc. this Tuesday afternoon, January the 31st, is straight ahead in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.